Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, friends. If it has not been said, welcome. My name is Jericho. I get to hang out with the kiddos. I am the family life pastor here, and it is a privilege and an honor to serve you guys, the people of God. All right, let me get ready here. God wants to be known. Jesus in all of his perfection, in all of his goodness, in all his gentleness, desires that you and I don't just know stuff about him, but that we would know him personally. I believe that when we know who God is, we get to know, we get to have the right perspective and know who we are. We can answer questions like, what am I here on earth to do? What is my purpose? All right, I'm going to be needing two brave souls to come help me with a sermon illustration. It's a Starbucks bag. Come on. Two friends. Don't let me call on you. All right, we got Cole, and Jim. Oh, perfect. All right, we'll bring it down here. Okay, come sit down, Mr. Jim. Yeah, move it down. All right, this is Cole. He's cute. This is Jim. He's cuter. All right. Who's worked with this before? All right. Jim, you've worked with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I need you to get one color on one side.
Okay.
I need you to get at least two colors on one side.
Okay.
All right. No pressure. Do you like that? We tempted him with the Starbucks bag. They didn't know what it was. All right. There's a prize at the end. Don't worry. You got 2 minutes. No pressure. We continue our trek through the wilderness today. We have our Lent sermon series looking at the Bible book of Exodus, and we are going to look at how God forms us in the wilderness. All right. I know God has you here for a reason today. You might be feeling like you're in a season of wilderness where it's dry, confusing, feel like you're lost. God wants to meet you here today. You might be in a season where it feels dry, but yet God wants to encounter and speak to you today. Pastor Dean spoke a couple weeks ago that the wilderness is a place of in-between, between God's rescue from Egypt to the promised land. That's kind of like that in-between season, where God delivers his people through mighty acts, right? Like the plague, he parted the Red Sea, and now they're walking through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. Like us, we are in between, right? We are in between Easter, where Jesus gave his life, buried in a tomb, he came back to life, and he says, peace, I'm gonna come back later. All right, I see you. All right, we're in between that and Jesus' second coming to restore all things for him and for his glory. This liminal period is where God forms us, forms you and me to be more and more like his son, Jesus. This in-between place is where we mature, where God grows and matures you and me. Can you think of things like that here on earth? Maybe like wine, if you like wine, right? You harvest the grapes, you have to process it, and then you have to wait for it to ferment before you can pop that cork, right? Or do I have any barbecue masters in the room, right? You get your meat, you got to clean it up, you got to wash it, pat dry, you got to marinate it, and you have that in-between waiting for all of the juices so that you can fire up that grill, right? It's that in-between season. Or like a pregnancy, right? You're like pregnant for a long time, and the baby's coming in a couple weeks for Jessica and I. All right, So the wilderness is this waiting time where God wants to meet you and me so that we can know who he is. And in knowing who he is, we can know who we are. And that is the invitation this morning. Do you know him? Do you know who you are this morning? All right, my friends, how are we doing? Hey, that's fine. Wow, Jim, you are amazing. Look at that, yellow on one side. Give him a hand. All right, how are we doing? Did you get, you're going for yellow too?
I was.
What? Look at that, that's amazing. Yellow, very nice. Hey, we want to encourage you because you're a brave soul. Do you like cold drinks or hot drinks?
Yeah.
Come on, you got to pick one.
Hot drinks.
Hot, all right. Very nice, you get a Starbucks washable tumbler with a gift card so you can take somebody out to coffee and invite them to Easter. Very nice, give them a hand. And then you don't get a choice, Mr. Jim. You get to have a cold drink tumbler with a gift card in there to take somebody out to coffee and invite them to Easter. Give them a hand, friends. All right. See, there's a reward. You guys doubted me. All right. I have four of these. Jim did an amazing job. All right. This morning, we find ourselves in Exodus 20. So if you have your Bible with you, we're going to be turning to a lot of passages this morning. I tell kids at my Awana Wednesday night program, raise your hand if you have a Bible. Raise your other hand if you read your Bible. And I tell them, what's more important, having a toothbrush or using it? All right, so want to encourage you guys, dust off that Bible, start reading, all right? And want to encourage you because there is life in this book. We get to know who God is. We are in Exodus 20, verses 17, where God has just rescued his people out of Egypt, and he wanted to bring them to the desert wilderness so that they could worship him. They could worship him. Have you ever been through a season where it's been difficult and hard, and yet God was so close? Have you ever been there? That's what they're experiencing. They're experiencing that dark night of the soul where we're like, I don't know, man. It's sandy. They're in my sandals. It's dusty. But yet God is near. All right. So before we go jump into Exodus 20, turn left in your Bibles. We're going to go to Exodus 19, verses 4. It's a lot of feedback. All right. Exodus 19, 4 says this. Give us context because the book of Exodus comes in two parts. The first part is 1 to 18, and the second part is 19 to 40. All right, so here's the context. This is God speaking. He says, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Treasured possession. Like a dad says, saying to his daughter, you're my princess. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. All right? So God rescued them. What can we find out about who God is? That he's mighty and power, right? And he says, even though I own the whole world, you are my treasured possession. You're going to be a blessing to the nations. You're going to be what? So if I'm mighty, who are you? He says, you are going to be a kingdom of priests. What do priests do? They help us worship, right? They point us to who God is. And they are to be a holy nation. That means I want you to look a little different from your neighbors, right? And how are you going to do that? I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments, right? The wilderness is this in-between place where God meets you and me so that we can know more personally who he is and who we are in him. That is the invitation this morning. Question is, do you know him? Question is, do you know who you are in him? Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I thank you so much for Cole. God, I thank you for his willingness to come up. And God, I thank you for Jim as well. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry that they both lead here at the church. God, I thank you for our friends that are watching at home. I pray, Lord, that you would meet with them today. God, I pray for our friends that are here. God, we thank you for the weather. We thank you for your word that feeds us and sustains us. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. God, we really do. We really thank you for your provision, your protection, and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you guys ready to jump in? Point number one, he is forming us in the wilderness so that we can know the good God, and in turn, we can know that he calls us his beloved people. The beginning of the Ten Commandments, so turn right in your Bibles back to Exodus 20, right? The beginning of the Ten Commandments is more important than the Ten Commandments themselves. Verse 2 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Actually, God speaks it. God speaks it. See, we gloss over it, that part all the time. We're like, let's get to the 10, right? We're more interested in the what of the Ten Commandments than the who. We're more interested in what religion tells us. These are the things that you are to do, and these are the things that you're not to do. But when we do this, we totally miss God completely. We get to miss the God who's mighty, who is the law giver. Do you know that these Ten Commandments are supposed to reflect how beautiful he is, how true he is, and how good he is? We just sang that he is a good, good father, right? How deep is that love for you and for me? See, we look at it and we say, well, I don't murder, check. I don't cheat on my spouse or my partner, check. I honor my father and my mother, check. Right? I don't steal from work, I don't covet. And yet we miss him. And you know why we miss him? Because we make it about us. We make it about us. There are two parts to the Ten Commandments. The first four is about how we are to relate to God. How do we worship God? Verses 2 all the way to 11. It's lengthy. It's 9 verses. And then commandments number 5 to 10, it's pretty short. Verses 12 to 17 is how we are to treat other people. So the focus of the Ten Commandments is God first, others next. Do you see that we have made it about you and me? See, the commandments show us God's character, right? Raise your hand if you got a good parent. Good parent. Yeah, there we go. Hands are coming up. And your parents say, make sure you eat your veggies. That's right. Veggies are good for you, right? Because they promote health, right? They're very nutritious and scrumptious, right? They help your body fight diseases. You absorb really good nutrients. I dropped out of nursing school. I'm getting a smirk from my wife. I don't know anything medical, okay? And they're yummy. You need your fiber, okay? Likewise, the commandments show us a very loving Father who wants for you and me to live in the freedom that he set out for us to do. He's given us a playbook on how to love our other fellow humans, right? Our brothers and sisters in Christ, our neighbors who leave their trash a little date too late. That's me, by the way. I'm that guy. Or even strangers. Let's look at a couple words from the commandments. I was looking at it and I was like, Lord, why is it all in the negative? Can't you just say like, well, love me this way, love me that way? And then I thought to myself, the more that I sat on it, I said, it's instructive. God in his goodness is saying there's freedom if you follow these paths. And God's saying, hey, there are also pitfalls ahead. Like your navigation system. Accident up ahead, right? Detour up ahead, right? Let's look at the command number one. You shall have no other gods before me. I don't know about you. I have a tendency to make myself God of my universe, right? I want to wake up before my alarm. That's a good day for me, right? 5 minutes before my alarm, I'm like, I'm up. I beat my alarm, okay? And if I forget, I wait for my alarm and I'm up. And I know what I want for breakfast, and I know every choice all the way until I go to sleep, right? I want life to serve me. So if you are still in school, like college, right, or high school, or you're suffering through an entry-level job, you're probably like, yep, it's okay, it's temporary. School's temporary so that I can have the best job in the world, right? If I'm suffering through a job, I can make it a means to an end because in a year or two, I can get to another job, right? The pitfall and accident up ahead is God saying, hey, do you know that I want to have that ultimate spot in your life? I want to be that God in your life. Have no other gods. See, I see many of my friends do this, and I see where other people, there's just too much pressure. There's too much pressure to have the full responsibility as the one in charge of your whole destiny. Right? No wonder many are dissatisfied, turning to other things than God. They find fulfillment in other ways, temporary. And guess what? They're dead ends. So God's saying, hey, accident up ahead. But if you follow this, there's freedom. Command number two, verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. We have a tendency in our hearts to make idols out of good things. Good things in life that we make God things in our lives, right? I want to show my social media followers the best version of myself. I know you guys like it. All right, I want you guys to look at my life and say, I want that guy's life. But if I'm not showing my strength, guess what I turn to? I love chips. I love junk food. Something about salty chips, all right? And you can tell me the science and the physiology of what my brain does, right? Or I turn to other things like alcohol, anything to escape the pain. Just get me through today. Just get me to 5 and I'm done. Get me to this weekend. And you know what? How I feel after I turn to those things? I always feel like, man, I thought I was more mature than this. I thought I was over this. And God is saying, hey, accident up ahead. There are dangers in life that you're following, all these idols, right, that you make out of life, and you turn your life away from me. Hey, turn back. Don't have idols. So we're not going to go through every single commandment, right? But what's the point? God gives us his law so that it's a reflection of his character because he's perfect and good. And you're probably like, what are the Rubik's Cubes doing? God gave us the Ten Commandments, and this is his high standard. High standard. Perfect colors, yellow on one side, green. All the cells are all in the right spot. Don't worry, I opened a box. Not my doing. All right? And guess what? We desire perfection. We actually want perfection. But maybe we're kind of like this. Right? I only want to show you one side. This is my social media life. You like my boat? Don't look behind. I'm not going to show you what's around there. Right? Or maybe we save it for our spouse. Right? Because they know you. They know you very well. But this is what we want the world to see. I got a cute puppy. He's got an Instagram page. All right? So that's what happens. But we hide the chaos behind the perfection, right? We want to impress people, or maybe I shouldn't say in general terms, I want to impress you. I want to impress you to like me, right? I want you to say, Jericho, I love the good parts of you, and we forgive every bad part of you, right? People are looking for a community like that, all right? And here is the good news today. You are loved by God. We are beloved people of God. God takes wilderness seasons so that he can speak to you and to me our real identity. That you are loved, that you are loved, that you are loved, that I am loved, that you are loved beyond measure. We are the object of his affections. We are his treasured possession. You are his. See, the irony of all of this is, well, here you go. Would you rather? Would you rather have everything in life look great? Right? You're showing the world one side. But then inside is chaos. Or would you rather have peace on the inside and it doesn't matter what you're going through? It doesn't matter what storms or global pandemic there are. You know the peace in your heart. The real answer is we want both, right? I want congruence with what's happening on the inside. I want the best life, right? But God is saying, hey, I love you, that I love you, that I love you, I love you. All right, we have to repeat things sometimes. That's why I repeat it, because I think by the fifth time I believe it. Yeah? Next point. Are we ready for the next point? We get to know not only God, who is good, and we get to know that we are loved, we also get to know the perfect Jesus. And what does he call us? He calls us to love others. Not only are we loved, but that we are to love others. Between Exodus and Jesus is story after story, family after family, individual after individual, trying hard to get here. Do they succeed? Mm-mm. Not really, right? Try hard as we might, we cannot keep all of the law. We cannot love God perfectly. We can't love others perfectly. We can have love, but it's not perfect. All right? Are you guys ready? We're going to turn to these passages this morning. Matthew 22, Romans 3:23, and James 2:10. All right, so Matthew, you're going to turn right on your Bible. You guys want to find out a trick? Cut your Bible in half, you're at Psalms, cut the latter half in half, and you're Matthew. Very fun trick. Okay, Matthew 22, 37 to 40, Jesus gets asked by the Pharisees, hey, it's really hard to keep all of it. Can you tell us just the one that we can't break? Which one is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The law and the prophets, the law, the Ten Commandments, right? The prophets, the Old Testament, hang on these two commandments. You know what? They asked Jesus. They said, you know, it's really hard to keep the ten. It's hard to keep all of the commands. Can you tell us the one that we can't break? And Jesus says, uh-uh. Jesus says, all of it's important. I'm going to summarize it for you in two words, love God and love others. Right? Remember, the first four is loving God. The last six is loving others. Love God and love others. And Jesus even doubles down and says, hey, you might not murder somebody. You might not take away their life. But if you harbor bitterness in your heart, it's like you've committed murder. You might not cheat on your spouse or your partner physically. Right? But if you have cheated in your heart, looked lustfully at another person, you have already committed adultery. Jesus says, it's not about the external, it's about your heart. Family and friends, we in our own strength cannot keep the Ten Commandments. Are you guys ready to turn right to Romans? Romans 3:23 says this. Some of you guys know this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, including your best friend, your nana, mom and dad, Mr. Jericho, your uncle, the neighbor that leaves their trash can, especially two of them. Why would you leave two? We're about to have three, right? I think there's a green one coming. All of them have fallen short of God's good law. Are you guys ready to turn right to James? James 2:10. All right, James is to the right of Hebrews. James 2:10, it says this. We tell our Awana kids this a couple weeks in. For whoever keeps the whole law, this one, and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Think about your favorite bowl of cereal, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. What if I said, hey, I just put a little bit of rat poop in there? Tiny bit. Would you still eat it? Right? God's holy and perfect law says, I want a good bowl of cereal. No rat poop, right? That's what we tell kids, by the way. All right? So, what do? We say, I want to show the world my Instagram account. This is it. You like my boat? And the problem is, we look at our neighbor and we say, man, I'm better than this guy. He only got 7. I got all 9 yellow. Right? And guess what happens? Jesus says, when you want to take the speck out of your brother's eye, you got to take a look at the log in your own eye. Right? Jesus says, hey, stop judging one another. Right? You are both a mess. Both a mess. All right? That's why I have to come. Jesus came to seek and to save me and you because we were lost in our own sin. See, the gospel comes in two parts. One is that we understand that we cannot keep this perfect law. But guess what? Somebody did. Do you guys know that person? It's like the best Sunday school answer. Jesus, right? Jesus did this, and he was human. And you're like, well, he was also God. Human. Human Jesus did it. All right? We have to understand that we have sinned and cannot keep the whole law. Remember, Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bowl. Okay? But the beautiful step is that somebody has stayed perfect. Jesus himself, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Are you guys ready to turn to passages? Romans 3:20. We're going to go turn left back to Romans 3, and then we're going to go to Matthew 5. Romans 3:20, 25 to 26, it says this, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, the law we see and we are conscious of our sin. We know that we can't reach it. 25 to 26, it says this, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of payment. God himself gave his own son through the shedding of his own blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. He's a good God because he has left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so to be the just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. God knows that you can't reach this. That's why Jesus had to come, but it came at a cost. Jesus had to die on that cross for you and for me, and he'd do it again. That's how much Jesus loves you and me. Turn to Matthew 5, turn left again. Try it. Half Psalms, half Matthew. It works. Matthew 5:17, Jesus preaches and he says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have actually come to fulfill them. Jesus came so that this would get paid for. All right? And this is why he came. Question is, well, God, why'd you make it so unattainable? Why'd you make it so unattainable? Can I tell you why? Because God is love and he's also just. He has, just means he has to reward good behavior. And he has to punish evil. Sin is so bad, evil is so bad, that he's not okay with it. You could just say, well, God, can you just forget about it? Right? Just cancel all of it. That's fine. And God says, uh-uh. Somebody's got to pay for it. But God says, I'm going to send my son, and he's going to pay for it. And that is the good news this morning. And guess what? He calls you and I to a higher type of love. Because he knows unconditional love, and he says, I want for you guys to love other people the way that I love you, the way that Jesus loves you. Probably wondering, why did we go through all of this? This is the last time, okay? We're going to go to Ezekiel and Jeremiah. So turn left in your Bibles to the Old Testament. Ezekiel, isn't that a cool name? Ezekiel 11 and Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 11 says this. The people of God, they will return to it, the land that I had promised them, and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. Remember the idols? I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from their heart of stone, I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Sometimes when we understand that we can't keep God's whole law, we get callous to it. I can't reach it anyways. Why even try? That callous becomes like a heart of stone. And God says, you know what? I want to change that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh so you can feel, because I love you, because I love you, because I love you, because I love you. Because I am a good father, and that is just who I am. All right? Turn now to Ezekiel 36. Go right in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. After he does surgery to take out that heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, he then gives you his spirit. His spirit so that you and I could love other people, so that we could love God. This is such good news. You guys know when this happened? You guys know Pentecost? Right? When the Holy Spirit was poured out. Do you know Jesus? Has he taken your heart of stone and replaced it with a heart of flesh? Has he given you his spirit? Last passage. You guys know Jeremiah 29:11? You like that one? Have you seen Jeremiah 31? Here we go. Just two pages after. Jeremiah 31:33-34, it says, "This is my promise, my covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." You guys know what that means? From kids' ministry to adult ministry. From the least to the greatest. From the kids, who they're still learning, they will know who God is. Right? Not the church of the future. Church of today, future leaders. All right? That's why I do kids' ministry, by the way. A little plug. From the least to the greatest, the people who don't have money, they will know God. The people that have so much money, they don't know what to do with them, with their Bitcoin currency, they will know who God is. The people that don't have any power in society, cannot vote, don't have any rights, you know who they are? They will know who God is. To the greatest people who have so much power politically, socially, relationally, they will know who God is. The widows, the orphans, the foreigners, the least in our society will know who God is. The people that have account in their records, they will know who God is. The people who have stayed the path, right, to the greatest, they will know who God is. Can I tell you one last thing, and then I'll get to our takeaways? God wants to change you from the inside out. He wants to take that heart of stone, heart of flesh, and give you a spirit. He wants to get rid of the idols in your life. You know what the Israelites were doing in Egypt when they were enslaved? They were worshiping other gods. And it took God taking them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, and in the wilderness, and he gives them a new heart because he's a good, good father. And here's the tough part. And I don't like saying this out loud. I was like, why are we doing a wilderness sermon series? Are we trying to bring people into a wilderness season? I don't want that for people, right? If you have been in the wilderness with the Lord and it's like been a dark night of your soul and it's super tough, but if God's there, God's probably trying to get rid of things in your life and he wants to change you from the inside out. If you feel like God's dragging me to the desert and I'm resisting, it's good. He's a good, good father. He is so good, in fact, that he'll let you walk through the desert so that you forget all the idols of slavery that you came from. He will put you through a desert and wilderness season so he can transform you from the inside out because he loves you, because he loves you, because he loves you, he loves me, and he's a good father, and that is just who he is. All right? Three takeaways. I know you're like, there's a lot of takeaways. We were made to be in perfect relationship with God, and we are just awaiting. We're just getting marinated until we get to heaven, right? We're just that good wine that's getting aged, right? Or we're that baby in the womb, just waiting to be birthed into a new season, right? The next thing is hope. I heard a pastor say, there are no hopeless situations, only people without hope. There are no hopeless situations, only people without hope. Do you have hope this morning? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know this God, this good, good God who forms us in the wilderness? Do you know who you are? And see, I know you know the thing that wedges your relationship with God. And he says, come back. Turn back to me. I want to give you freedom. I want to give you hope. I want to tell you that I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'm a good father, and that is who I am. Would you guys pray with me this morning? Father God, I thank you so much for your word that sustains us. God, I thank you for your love for me. God, help me believe in you. Help me trust in you this morning. God, I pray for everybody in this room and listening online. I pray, Lord, that they would have the best day of their life today. God, we hope in you. We hope in you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for surrounding us with a community, Lord, that we can be vulnerable about our lives, God, that we don't have it all together. And Lord, we want to serve and follow you because you have called us your beloved, and you have called us to love other people. Thank you for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpchurch.org.